Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. Appreciate everybody here. It's a beautiful morning out there. I hope you've had a good holiday. I had the opportunity to never done the Zoom meetings with the family. My family up in Canada, some of them I hadn't seen in a long time. I had a niece who lives in England, and she was on, so it was really good. I know most of y'all, we have a whole three rows about our Bradfords here. I don't know. And a lot of y'all get a chance to be around your family a lot. Well, being from another country, it's not like that a lot of times for people like that. So to be able to do that, I know now how it feels for y'all. And sometimes maybe you take for granted because you see each other every week or every month or something. And please never do that. Because to see my brothers and my sisters, and when it was all, we did it for an hour and 15 minutes and it was all over. Hannah was there in the background and so forth. And Hannah says, "Boy, y'all sure do talk a lot." I'll tell you, it's an hour and 15 minutes of the Sheehans just talking. Now, we don't listen to each other. We just talk. And that's just the way it is. My dad always used to say that. We all just talk for an hour and a half, and then you say, "Oh, it wasn't that much fun. We don't even know what we said, but we talked." And so it was really good. So I know during your time here, you've had a chance maybe to see your aunts and uncles, but please always count your blessings, not just this time, all the time that you get to be the family. And again, the same with the church family. A lot of times you travel and you go away for a couple of weeks, or you go someplace with work and you can't be with your church family. It's always good to come back and to see everybody and those that have been traveling. And good to see Anita and she, her and Jackie. And we got a drive-by last week when we had the drive-by. It was really great for the people, for all of us. But for those people, Gerald just thought it was the greatest thing to sit there and wave to see people go by. I know. And Jackie, it was good for all of us to be able to participate in that. Okay, well, y'all please stand now for the reading. It's from Proverbs chapter 1. This is the verses that we used when we began our lessons this year and our theme. Proverbs 1, verse 1. "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain a wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a statement, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And the congregation said, "Amen and amen." Please be seated. We come now to the last lesson on our theme this year. And our theme this year has been learning to be wise. And it truly was a wise choice by the elders. We've had lessons on being wise in so many different areas of our spiritual life. And yes, even the physical life. Now we come to the question. It's the end of the lesson. It's the end of the year. All the lessons, we're going to still have some more lessons throughout your life you're going to have on being wise. But for one whole year, we've concentrated. Now, are you going to be wise or are you going to be a fool? Now, you might have started the year doing a lot of foolish things. I hope you've corrected them. Or at least you see what you need to do. And if you started wise, do you see the benefits of continuing to be wise? Now, that's your choice. Will you listen to the lessons we've had and to what God said and obey, or will you be a fool? All of us, we're all faced with that. Even a young child to the senior citizen, you're going to make some wise or some foolish choices. Proverbs presents you through over. If you read the book of Proverbs, you'll notice how it's presented. Do this or that. Do this or that. Get this or get that. It compares one to another. Here are some things Proverbs gives you choices. You can have a choice now. Be wise or a fool. First one is, choose the way of righteousness or the way of evil. You got a choice. Which one? The way of righteousness means the right way. And that's, of course, God's way. Are you going to do God's way or the way of the devil? That's the evil way. And you can either be happy or you can have a life of tragedy. Now, that doesn't mean the idea of when you choose, I'm going to be wise, so I'm going to have a happy life all my life. No, that doesn't mean you're not going to be sick. It doesn't even mean, of course, death's coming your way. But you'll be able to handle those things in the right way. You'll understand that it's appointed unto men, oh, we're all going to die. And we're going to be okay because our lives are going to be a life that followed righteousness. But if you're not wise, tragedy. You don't live as long, Proverbs says. You're going to be around evil companions. You're going to be around evil activities. All those kind of things. You got a choice. There's a way, it's narrow. And there's a way that's wide. You get a choice. One way is a path of light. One's a path of darkness. Light means, of course, the Bible is God's word. It's light. Jesus leads us into light. And it's a righteous way. And the other way is dark. Sin is dark. More crime is committed at night. Again, it's the idea of darkness. Darkness all of a sudden when you're little. Turn the lights on when you want to sleep because you're afraid of the dark. Bad things happen in the dark, we think. Monsters come out when you're little at night. And the idea is that for Christians, we can either follow the light or we can follow the darkness, which is the devil's side. And of course, you can either, as we said, obey God or not. One side, one way leads to freedom. Freedom from sin. The other one is bondage to sin. You'll die in sin. And then you'll be lost for eternity. One leads to life. That's heaven for eternity. And the other one leads to death for eternity. That should be enough right there. When you die a physical death, everybody's going to die. Now the door opens and you have a new place you're going to. You have a new existence. You can live in heaven. And again, I've said this before. The Bible never once says you live in hell. It says you exist. I'm not saying you're not existed. But there's, you know, some people say, this is living. They go to Hawaii and they're on the beach. They say, this is living. Boy, look at all the great things we have. And then some people get thrown into jail, into prison, solitary confinement. You know what they say? This isn't living. This is dying. It sure is. There's nothing there in a physical way. There's nothing in hell that makes you want to live. But you're going to live. You're going to exist. And it's going to be a terrible, terrible place. Now you can choose happiness or weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the choices that we've been given. You can hear this. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or you can hear this. Depart. I know you not. Hey, but didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works? Didn't I go to church all the time? Hey, I never swore. I never did drugs. I never got drunk. I never did those things. And what will the Lord say? I never knew you. Because you didn't follow the way of righteousness. You see, that's what we have. Now, are you going to be wise this year and next year? You got a few more days. We have that choice. That's what the purpose of all these lessons is, to be wise. What does God want you to learn? What are some specific things he wants you to learn? Well, the most important thing he wants you to learn is, what's the grand conclusion? What do we want everybody to understand? If you only learn one thing, this is what we want you to learn. This is the grand conclusion of the book of Proverbs. And you know what? It's not even found in the book of Proverbs, the statement. But it's the grand conclusion. This grand conclusion is found at the end of Ecclesiastes. It's the beginning of Proverbs. And that's, you better fear God and keep his commandments. You better do that. Because it's the whole duty of man. Now some versions say that's the conclusion of the matter. Some say that's the end. That's all you need to know. Some versions say that's everything. That's everything put together. Some versions say that's the sum. Turn to Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Well, let's start verse 13. Verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is all As I said, some say this is a conclusion, this is the end, this is everything, this is the sum. For this is man's all, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's the conclusion. That's what God wants us to learn from the book of Proverbs. And it's interesting. Proverbs begins where Ecclesiastes ends. How does Proverbs begin? Remember, go back to where we started in our reading. What does it start with? In verse 7, the fear of the Lord is what? That's the beginning of knowledge. Ecclesiastes picks, is the beginning of the book of Proverbs. They're both wisdom literatures. You have to fear the Lord. That's the whole duty. Now remember what fear means. That means you respect. You fear the police. You respect them. You fear your teacher. In a way, and it's that you respect the teacher. The teacher has the right to tell you to sit down, do your work. And they also even carry a little bit of scariness with them. Hey, you either do it or go down the office. Either do it or do this. I remember when I was substituting once in Salt Lake City. And, you know, and the kids are pretty respectful, most of the kids there. And so I would tell them to do things. They'd do their homework and they'd do this. And they had that fear. They had respect that you're the teacher. Had one boy, I remember one time I said, okay, everybody take their seats. So he stood, he picked up his chair, picked up his seat like this and said, where do you want me to put it? Being a clown. I said, oh, I'll tell you what, follow me. I'll tell you where I want you to take it. Come on. So we went down the hall. All the kids are going to class and he's carrying his desk like this. He's only a little old guy. Took it right into the principal's office and she's looking at me. What's he doing? I put it right there in front of the principal. I said, told him, I said, Johnny here wanted to know. I told everybody to take their seats. So he picked it up and wanted to know where to take it. So I said, I figured I'd take it right in front of your desk and let Johnny sit with you. Well, Johnny all the way down didn't know what's happening. He's sitting right there. So now I went back to class. And there were still a few little clowns like always. And they said, well, what happened to Johnny? I said, well, Johnny's sitting down with the principal now in his principal's office doing his work. Anybody else want to join him? Oh, no, sir. You see the fear? But mostly you want that respect. And that's what God. You better fear, though, too. In the sense that hell is a terrible place. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, death, as we said, is coming. But Proverbs teaches us how to be wise about death. Look at Proverbs 10:2. Proverbs 10 and in verse 2. Here's what it says. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Proverbs 10:2. But look what it says. What profits? But righteousness delivers you from death. Well, does that mean if I go to church all the time, I'm not going to die? No, it means when you do die, you'll be delivered to a place called heaven. You'll be at a beautiful place. And that's what Proverbs wants us to learn. James, we've been talking about, says that your life's like a vapor. It just appears a short while. But you can be delivered. On your last day when you're raised, you'll be delivered to a home called heaven. How about laughter? We all like to laugh. But life is not all laughter. And when you're laughing, remember, it's not going to last forever. Because there's serious things that go on in life. Look at Proverbs 14 and 13. 14 and verse 13. Even though you're laughing and things are going well, you've got to always be prepared. The wise man says you've got to be prepared for other times. Proverbs 14, 13. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. At the end of your laughter, there might be some sad times, and there are. So Proverbs is trying to tell us, enjoy your life, but don't think your whole life is going to be a joy, happiness all the time. It's not. There's going to be some sad times. It's still coming. Proverbs tells us how to use our speech properly. Look at Proverbs 8. There's the idea of the first impression when someone looks at you. Then there's the first impression about how that you speak. Hey, they must be, when Laura was on the line with my family from Canada and England, they said, boy, my niece in England said, I mean this in a nice way, but Laura, I love to hear you speak. I just love to hear your accent. And, you know, she does, to the kids, you know, she just has a normal voice. But to other places, they say, hey, she's from the South. Your speech says, when you have bad language, that person mustn't go to church, we would say. Look what it says in Proverbs 8, verse 6. Listen, I'm going to speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Here's what the wise man says to say. From my lips is going to come right things, good things. I'm going to speak the truth. That's what's going to come. That's what you learn when you study the book of Proverbs. Proverbs gives us wisdom to guide us in all the things. But here's what you got to do. Look at John 13, 17. It's no good for us just to repeat over and over again what you're supposed to do. You need to hear it. That's what we've been trying to do all year. But now in John 13, 17, here's what it says. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do. If you do them. It's not just enough to hear it. Now you got to practice them. You got to practice them. Use your speech right. I know I'm not supposed to do that, but no. You'll only be blessed if you do those things. Here are some truths. Here are some truths. Now live like you're supposed to. Riches do not last very long. Don't trust in riches, the book of Proverbs says. Proverbs 23 and verse 5. That doesn't mean you don't work hard. And that doesn't mean that you don't thankful for all the blessings you have. But don't live thinking that, oh, I'm going to have all these riches all the time. James talks about that. Proverbs 23 and verse 5. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle towards heaven. And in 27:24 of Proverbs, it says, riches are what? Are not forever. Be thankful for what you have. And they're not here forever. So when you have them, you better use them right. And you better use them to glorify God. You better use them to help others. You better buy good things with them. That's what you do with your riches. That's one of the most important things in the book of Proverbs over and over again. It talks about riches. And then you come to the book of James. Talks about riches. And again, I told you, well, we did some lessons about it. Everybody in this room is rich. Everybody in here is rich. Don't think for a moment we're talking about somebody who lives in a mansion on top of a hilltop. We're not. We're talking about all of us. We're rich. And if we're not careful, we'll lose our souls because we don't use our riches properly. And then what else? He tells us how to use, as we said, in Proverbs 14, 21, with our money, we've got to help those who can't help themselves. 14 and verse 21. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. There's no book in the Bible that talks more about helping the poor than the book of Proverbs. And who's poor? Those that are needy. Those that are needy. And any time you think that we're not rich, and that's me included, you just need to go into your closet and count the number of pairs of shoes you have. Remember I showed you a picture this past year of that little boy. He had one pair of shoes in Jamaica. He was 4 years old, and it was the first pair he ever had. His toes were like this. We couldn't put his shoes back on when we took them off. That's the only pair of shoes he had. How many pairs of shoes do we have? How many jackets do we have? How many dresses? How many cars? You see, we're rich, so what does the little proverb says? Use them. Use our riches. And, of course, our monies. In a way that we can. The Lord expects us to help his cause, of course. And other things. But book of Proverbs. Over and over again. You're not going to learn about helping the poor in Ezekiel. You might some principles. You're not going to read about it in Genesis. Not like it is in Proverbs. And that's what he wants us to be wise about. Use your riches. And look what it says in 19:17. I never knew this verse was in here until I studied Proverbs. 19:17. Look what it says. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he'll pay back what he has given. There's some people when I was growing up, they always said, hey buddy, lend me a buck. I say, no, it's not lend me a buck to you. You never pay back. We know guys like that and girls like that. I ain't giving you anything. I'll never see it again. But here's what it says. The Lord says, can you lend me a dollar? I need to help the poor. Are you going to say, no way, Lord, you never pay back. You don't keep your word. The Lord says, you help the poor and you're helping yourself. You help the needy, you're helping yourself. You help the poor spiritually, you're helping yourself. What great verses we've learned when we've studied the book of Proverbs. It also gives some wise instruction in Proverbs 17:17. How to treat one another. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times. And that's what the world needs. The world needs friends. We need to love everybody. That doesn't mean we love their actions, but we love their souls. We need to love each other more. We need to be kinder to each other more. And are some people harder to be kind to? Yes, that's the ones you got to work harder at. Children, parents, they need to be. They need to be kinder, and they need to work on their children. In Proverbs 23:13, they need to teach their children what's right and teach their children what's wrong. And the reason you do it is because you love them. Proverbs, and the children won't understand. Proverbs 23:13. Do not withhold correction from a child. If you correct him with a rod, he won't die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell or Hades there. You know, that's what we try to do. We try to help our children. We correct our children. Have you ever said to yourself, it sure is hard to be wise. It's easy to be a fool. It is. You're not alone if you've ever thought that. We regret so many times growing up the foolish things that we did. You know, before I started going to church, I did some foolish things. I'm glad I lived long enough to repent of them. And then after I was a Christian, I did some foolish things. Now, why did you do them? Well, sometimes, some of that's because I didn't know right from wrong and you know, what the Lord wanted. My fault, I should have known. Others was because my companions weren't good. There are lots of reasons. But I did some things. So I learned what I needed to do. I needed to have good friends around me. I needed a good church. I needed good elders. I needed good brothers and sisters. If we only knew now, 20 years ago, would you be where you are right now spiritually? And that's why 20 years from now, where are you going to be? I tell you where you're going to be. If you're wise, you're going to be a leader. In a spiritual family, you'll be a leader. You might be an elder. You'll be a Bible class teacher that you never thought you could be. You'll be lots of things. And the older you get, our desire more and more is to want to go to heaven. As I've said this before, when you visit somebody on their deathbed, the number one subject in my life, and talking to some old preachers, the number one subject people want to talk about on their deathbed is heaven. It is. Now they talk about their children, but you know what they say? I hope my children go to heaven. They talk about their friends, and they say, I hope my friends go to heaven. But it's heaven. And because you know now, they're getting wise. They're wiser now than they've ever been in a spiritual way because they're thinking more about it. We're all getting older here, believe it or not. There's some people that are here in the audience right now and some people who are listening online who will not be here probably this time next year. Because that's just the way life is. Sometimes they'll be physical. They're just getting older. And they've used up all their... They didn't rust away. They just wore their bodies out from hard work. Some will have some kind of ailment that's been passed on maybe through their family. Some may get the virus. Some may get some kind of disease that they're still working on a cure. But that'll happen to all of us. And then Ecclesiastes, as I said, it's the end of Proverbs, beginning of Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, look what it says will happen then. In Ecclesiastes 12 and in verse 7, here's what will happen then. 12 and in verse 7, the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Your body's just going to turn into dust. But your spirit's going to go to God. And God's going to make a judgment on whether or not you fear God and kept His commandments like a wise person should and did, or you were a fool and you didn't fear God and you didn't keep His commandments. God wants us all to learn. That's why He gave us Proverbs. And that's why it's one of the two easiest books. Easiest book, I think, in the Old Testament to read is Proverbs. Easiest one in the New Testament is the book of James. You ever thought about that? They really are. Not that Galatians and Ephesians and some of those, but there's some doctrinal things. Very few doctrinal things you find in James, if any. But what do you find? Practical, common sense things that says you got to fear God and keep His commandments. That's what you have to do. People always like simple lessons. That's what Proverbs is. And that's what we all need to do. You've got to trust and obey what God says. You've got to trust His plan of salvation. His plan of salvation, trust it. It's unique. Because as a believer, you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you don't see your sins washed away. But the blood of Jesus washes them away. And then as a Christian, you've got to trust what He asks you to do. He says, look, I want you to confess your sins because I'm faithful and just to forgive you. Those are two things you got to trust and obey. Now, how do you trust and obey? By fearing God. And then keep what He asks you to do. So we finish our study on learning to be wise by asking all of us right now, not the beginning of the year, not tomorrow, right now, are you wise or are you fool? If you're wise, you're ready to die and meet the Lord. Have you fallen short in your whole life? Yes, many, 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 many times. But you became a Christian by being baptized for the remission of your sins. And then when you fell short, you confessed your sins. And you're ready to meet the Lord. You're ready for your spirit to go meet the Lord. You're ready to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you haven't feared God and kept His commandments, you're going to die a fool. And you're going to die with no biblical promise of a home in heaven. No biblical promise. The Bible doesn't promise heaven for everybody. It promises those who fear Him keep His commandments. That's why if you're not a Christian, you need to be wise. Do trust and obey. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, if you believe and you're baptized, you'll be saved. Trust it and obey it. And if you're a child of God and you haven't been living like you should, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. You got to trust and obey what He asks you to do. And if we can help anybody in any way to get their life right, we'd love to do that right now while we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
We come to the portion in our services where as Christians we have the honor and the privilege to partake of the Lord's Supper. After Jesus was put into the tomb, after his death, 3 days later they visited the tomb. And in Mark 16, starting in verse 1, they visited the tomb. It was the Sabbath, was passed. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Mark 16, verse 1, and Solomon brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they had laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you'll see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly, and they fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. But when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and cried. And when they heard he was alive and been seen by her, they still didn't believe. He appears, of course, here to Mary. And Mary sees he is alive. And he's seen by so many. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, he's seen by so many, hundreds and hundreds of people saw him because he's alive. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3, "I delivered you first of all, which I did also receive," Paul says, "Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose the third day according to the Scriptures. He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part still are here, but some have died. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen by me as one born out of due time." Why was he seen by all these people? Because Jesus is alive. As we partake of the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day, we remember his death. But we can never forget, he's alive. Without the resurrection, we'd have no hope of life after death. But Jesus was resurrected, and he ascended into heaven. And that's the hope we have. We're going to be resurrected, and we want to have that ascension into heaven. Yes, the unleavened bread represents his body. And yes, the fruit of the vine represents his blood. But it happened at his cruel death that we remember. And that's what we try to do every Lord's Day. But never forget, he's alive today. We're not remembering a dead person. We're remembering someone who's alive. His presence is with us right now. His person's in heaven. He's on the right hand of God, but his presence is with us. He's alive. He's with us every Lord's Day as we partake of the unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. Because he arose, and he's alive. And as we remember each Lord's Day, his death, let's also remember that we also are going to rise too from the dead. And we want to make sure that, as we said this morning in our lesson, that we arise as someone who feared God and kept his commandments.